So I've been starting a collection of films I own that I never want to watch again.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And I have the newest
entry
in the films I own, and I never want to see again in my fucking life. It's great. You want to hear about it? It's called Rottweiler. Oh boy.
Let's discuss it for the next 90 minutes.
Dogs, they're coming. They're coming your way. They'll be here soon.
I'm scared.
Of what?
The monster.
The game's just beginning.
Today just wasn't your lucky day.
You want me? Well, come and get me!
What is it?
It's a Rottweiler.
Anyway, welcome to the podcast. I'm Boyce. This is my co-host, Ilion. This is Rough Cuts, where we watch movies that have dogs in them and then rate them at the end to save you the trouble of having to watch filth that we... This is our gift. Do not right. jettison our gift, please.
My intro was going to be,
It's a lovely Sunday morning to watch the worst exploitation movie of all time.
It's thank true. You.
You're welcome.
what a lovely Sunday morning to waste on this fucking
on
garbage.
This trash.
This utter unredeemable shit.
So Rottweiler, a 2003 film with a 2003 DVD. Sorry, 2004 DVD.
Oh.
Came out the year after. Rottweiler.
Had to spend a lot of time putting all those extra features in.
The features on the DVD don't even work half the time, and when they do, they're in the wrong language. And even then, you also can't, like, go back to the menu after you start the feature. You have to skip it.
A lot of them... So, the features are all just shots of the movie, but without audio half the time.
No commentary.
There's zero commentary on any of it.
But they subtitle it.
They subtitle, yeah, people talking because they're on set just giving directions. Like, it's just regular... It's just their background stuff. They're just filming it. And then what they do is they show a shot. Like, they show the background of a shot and, like, from another angle, and they do the whole thing. And then they re-show it, but by holding up a camera to the back of the camera that just filmed the scene you just watched. So you just get, like, the tiny little in-camera view of it.
Because they did no editing.
A minute and a half.
For this. They just tossed it on the DVD. If they did editing, they would have shown us the scene that was in the movie, not somebody pointing a camera at the camera of the scene that was in the movie.
Or they'd have added commentary to it and explained why they're doing that, but they...
They
don't know why they're doing anything in this movie.
Anyway, so Rottweiler, Killer Instinct just got an upgrade. Which, the first letter of those is capitalized, but only some of them. So it's K-I-J-G-U. Kidju. That's the subtitle. Kidju.
Uh-huh.
Whatever that means. Alright, so we just watched the film. I'm going to read the back of the box. For everybody.
Okay.
I guarantee this is not what happens.
No.
So, first line.
Hold up. How can you guarantee that when you can't explain what happened? You can't explain this film.
So, first line. Falsely imprisoned for a crime he did not commit.
Okay, just that is way too fucking funny if you've seen this movie. But we'll explain in a minute. Go ahead,
Dante saw his chance to escape, and he took it. Discovering his disappearance, the corrupt authorities let loose their ultimate tracking device, the Rottweiler.
Mm-hmm.
An indestructible killing machine with a taste for human flesh. He was bred to kill and engineered with steel incisors implanted into his jaw. This is not explained.
Not, yeah, but it's shown, I guess.
Half beast and half machine. The Rottweiler will not stop until he has sated his killer instincts. Hell, .. unleashed. That's it.
Yeah. That's about as far as the movie got for a plot also. I mentioned when we watched this that it felt very much like there's an It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia bit where they're trying to make their own movie and the, like, Mac and Charlie are doing it and they're trying to, like, oh, like, we can get, like, Dolph Lundgren and it'll be this cool action movie. And then Dennis gets a hold of it and he goes, no, like, I'm the producer. I know what we should do. What we'll do is we'll have, like, full frontal nudity, full hardcore sex, and with Dolph Lundgren, and then back to, like, killing, and then sex, and then killing, and then sex, and then killing, and sex, and killing, until it basically just ends. And that's his pitch, and that's this movie. That's all they got.
And that's exactly what you'd expect from the director of Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, and the writer of the Honey, I Shrunk the Kids TV show, of which 66 episodes were produced.
This man should have stayed as producer. He produced two pretty decent movies.
No.
Back in the day.
He was the writer and the director. Not the producer. Well, he also produced.
I'm saying those aren't good movies, though. He produced two good movies at the start of his career. Because he produced Reanimator and From Beyond. He was a producer on those.
Oh, okay. And then he also Bride of Reanimator.
And then he wrote Bride of Reanimator. He should have just stayed producing things. Because apparently he could detect talent in other people, but not in himself. Because holy shit.
And we were talking about, we were watching the special features where they were showing, like, the craft of making this pile of craft. But the people working on the film were consummate professionals.
Yes.
They put real effort into making this, and the practical effects are all mostly good, although not consistent.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it's not the people on set's fault that this pile of shit was made, or that it's a giant turd.
No. This is a movie that is, like, unlike a lot of the films that we've seen that are really, really bad for our podcast, where it's like, oh, nobody at any point in this film had any right to make a movie. Like, it's all shaky cam, like, filmed on phones, no audio. It doesn't have any of those problems. Like, it looks okay. It's shot pretty decently in terms of, like, technical skill.
And they had a budget. Yes.
Yeah. This feels like it is a top-down failure in that the writer-director, Brian Yuzma, is basically, this is where the buck stops. It's entirely his fault.
Well, the writing fucking
sucks, and the directing sucks.
He ripped the buck in half and gave
one of it, and then he said at the end of the movie, you get the other half.
Yeah, I'll pay you the other half of this dollar. Yeah.
Oh my god. He does. Our main character does that for a pimp drug dealer man at one point.
You can't say that about Eminem. He's a rapper. Come on. This scare media that you're promoting about rapper Eminem, I will not stand.
But it really does feel like it's a failure of the direction and the writing by, like, almost exclusively.
Yes. Yeah.
Because, like, the technical skill is fine, the acting is not good, but it's not, like, atrociously bad. It's just,
it's pretty bad.
It's pretty, but we've seen a lot worse. And I mean, like, honestly, it could have been fine for, like, a regular B action flick in a way. Other than, again, it's so dumb and so poorly written. And the idea of, like, the way the scenes fit together is so, honestly, offensive a lot of the time that it's, like everything about it is fucking disgusting.
Like, instead of doing something interesting, they just get gratuitous, but not,
yes,
not in like a funny way or an interesting way or a scary way. It's just
or goofy,
gratuitous.
Yep. It is the type of gratuitous that makes you immediately wish that you were taking a shower.
Yeah.
I feel like I need to clean myself after watching this because it's just filth. I don't say that lightly because I've watched movies that are much more gratuitous or like much more violent or have a lot more sex and stuff than this and a lot more like disturbing stuff than this. But it's all done with a purpose rather than like, hey, isn't this cool? This movie is like, it shows a bunch of really edgy, disgusting behavior. And then it goes, yeah, you like that, right? This is really cool, right? And you're like, no, not even a little bit.
Yeah, it's super weird. We were talking about what this movie would be in terms of like genres. And it's Terminator in a way. Although, yeah. I don't even think the dog's that important. He just is there for gore.
No, it's allegorical, man. Gore is in allegorical. Oh my god! And that's the levels that this movie operates on, by the way.
And then the second part would be Square Enix's masterpiece, The Quiet Man.
This feels like The Quiet Man. I couldn't get it out of my head after that, and you were totally right. You are 100% correct.
Would this movie be better with no audio? And you had to piece it together the same way.
It would feel exactly the same as it does.
Yeah.
And honestly, like, that's the vibe that you already get. You mentioned during the film, at the end of it, you're like, this is like a puzzle, but they gave you all the wrong pieces, in a way. And I'm like, they gave you the pieces for 12 different puzzles, and then at the end of the movie, when you're like, well, none of this fucking fits together, they sweep all of those pieces across, like they cover the table in a blanket, sweep all those pieces across, and then uncover a completed puzzle that's different than any other puzzle you've seen. And they go, pretty smart,
making
huh? And
you're
like,
sense?
No. Yeah. I do notice, I do have object permanence. I know that you swept the other pieces away, you dumb motherfuckers. I'm not that dumb. I'm not an idiot.
Aren't we smart? You remember when we laid the clues? No.
There's no clues. Nothing makes sense in this film.
Like there's times where, so this film uses a lot of imagery to make a point about society.
It sure does. It tries. It really tries. This dude thinks he's making some kind of point. I can't tell what it is, but...
What is the scorpion? There's a scorpion that shows up.
Oh my god.
What does the scorpion mean? Nothing? Okay.
Nothing.
What is the fog of the breath of evil? The fog that shows up that's evil. What does that mean? Nothing.
Nothing? It means nothing. What about destiny?
What
does
destiny
mean anything? Is he fighting his destiny?
It's like they're just pulling like themes out of a hat. Is this anything? Did we do it?
Did we do the thing? So like, okay, we need to talk about how this movie is set up and how it goes. Because like, we need to explain why these allegories are bad or just don't exist, non-existent.
Mm-hmm.
The movie starts out with a guy being dragged out of a prison van in the far-flung future of 2018,
mm-hmm.
In the immigration exclusion zone of Spain, because this is a Spanish movie that's dubbed into English, but nothing tells you that. It just says it's an English movie everywhere you look. It's lying, it's dubbed.
It lies completely the whole time, yeah.
It's incredibly a lie. So they drag him out of this van, and he's a prisoner, and there's a scorpion on the ground that's like some kind of big thing because they keep zooming in on it, and then it climbs a prisoner's leg and stabs a guy. And then he dies instantly, because that's what scorpions do, right?
Sure.
And because he died instantly, that also means that they can now do a prison break.
They just escape, I guess?
They run away. This guy and another guy who he's chained up to. And that guy speaks all cryptically and goes like, oh, like, no, you can't fight your destiny. Your destiny is here. You've got to do your destiny. Destiny is a thing. Destiny. But we're destined. We're destined together. And then he's ripped apart by a dog in about 10 seconds after that.
That was his destiny.
That was his destiny.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Our main character, Dante, who's this white dude, then escapes down the river. and a dog is chasing him, the dog that ripped apart the
guy. He escapes down a river and then specifically hand climbs a mountain.
Yes. Yeah, then he just climbs a mountain to get away, but...
Well, that's because that's the only place that has a bush that you can hide when the helicopter shows up. He plays peekaboo
with the helicopter, yes. Behind, like, this very tiny bush, like it's fucking Spy versus Spy, and he can hide behind a lamppost. It's fucking ridiculous. His big orange jumpsuit. The helicopter pops up over the ridge 20 feet in front of him. He locks eyes with the pilot and then jumps back behind the bush.
In his fluorescent orange prison gear. Yeah.
Yep. And the pilot's like, couldn't have been it. Must have been a rabbit. And just flies away.
Big oblivion guard energy.
Oh my god. Yes. Yes. Yeah.
But so after he climbs the mountain by hand.
Yes.
Like free climbing. Free
climbing. Yep.
For some reason. Then he cuts to a flashback of him on a boat with his girlfriend, Eula. Or Eula?
Yes. Eula. I think. I don't... I don't know that they know.
I don't think they know. But we're not really introduced to them being a partner. She's just on the boat by herself. And then she wanders over to him, who's in the captain's, like, room.
He's like, leaning over, talking to the people in the control room. Yeah. It's, like, a really, really tiny little boat.
It's like a fishing boat, yeah.
It looks like it's set up as if he is an immigration smuggler. Because they kind of make him look a little villainous, a little skeezy in this. And there's all of these people in the back that are, like, huddled in blankets and such. And, of course, he was caught in an immigration exclusion zone, you think, right? Uh-huh. Like, oh, okay, so this is some immigration thing. Is it an immigration thing?
But, like, he just creepily walks over to her and then starts touching her. Are they dating? What? And yes, they are, but they don't introduce them. And then,
but like, kind of not, because he goes like, oh, I love you. And she goes, don't say that. You can't say that unless you really mean it. And it's like, wait, yeah. So are they dating or are they not? Like, it seems like he's just schmoozing on her while she's his care.
And then they have a Twilight scene where she's like, I'll die for you, my handsome vampire.
Oh. And he goes, no, I'll die for you, my beautiful woman. He also has a moment here when he's leaning in and talking to the captain. This is the important stuff that I want to get to about how much it, like, sets up all these allegories and metaphors and then just fucking shits them out and forgets about them. In that there's, like, the captain and some guy next to him, they call an old superstitious man, and he's going, oh, do you see that fog ahead? That's the breath of evil. That's not a real fog. It's the breath of evil. And this keeps coming up. And
the breath of evil that helps you. You can't escape from destiny when the breath of evil is on you.
Keeps talking about destiny and the breath of evil and, oh, it's big for destiny. And now you're destined to go into the breath of evil, on and on and on. Which, okay, sure, whatever.
And then out of the fog comes a boat of...
Military people, immigration, maybe?
Anti-immigration folks to arrest them, I guess. But our protagonist, I refuse to call him a hero.
Oh, yeah. And, no, he's not.
And Eula, jump out of the boat, and we assume they swim to shore, which we'll find out later.
Yeah, we're like, wait, are they just going to swim to shore from the middle of the ocean?
Yes.
Well, we'll find apparently. Out. I don't know. This is just a flashback. Who knows? Maybe there's something else that happens. No, it's the stupidest possible thing. They're going to just swim to shore.
The helicopter that couldn't see him in his orange jumpsuit gets one up by the Rottweiler that finds him immediately and bites his hand while he's sleeping with a little chomp. Like,
it just goes, nah, on his hand. Yeah, it gives him a little love bite. It's so fucking funny. This dog that, like... They showed shred a man to pieces very graphically 5 minutes ago, comes over and finds him sleeping and goes nom 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 on his hand, just very, very nicely and gently.
It's so dumb. And then
that leads to his magic hand syndrome.
Yeah, he gets infected by the cybernetic Terminator dog
techno-organic saliva. Virus. Yeah.
He gets branded by the devil.
They don't. Yeah, there's no explanation for this, by the way. It's just shown. It's just now suddenly every time that the dog is near, he looks down at his hand and his hand is bleeding where the dog bit him.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have anything at all. Nobody ever mentions anything about it. It's just a little subtle thing that you notice and you're like, wait, why is that happening? That's fucking stupid. Like,
and then it just keeps happening.
They
never loop back on it. The guard, the main guard from the prison who saw them escape, catches up to him and the dog, and basically holds him prisoner there until they can leave the next day, question mark. But this is just so he can fall asleep after handcuffing him to the dog.
Yeah, this is all contrived.
And then at night, there's a cute little bunny just jumping around near them. And our protagonist, Dante, from Dante's Inferno, because there's layers.
Yeah, there's layers. It's all allegorical, you see.
Because hell is unleashed. Dante. Anyway, he's like, hey, dog, you want to eat? You want to bite that cute bunny? That bunny? You want to bite the rabbit? You want to bite the rabbit, dog? Come on, go get him. Go get him, dog. Go get him. Go get him. And then the dog's all, like, cute, and he's like, yeah, I want to get the bunny. I want to get the bunny.
Yep.
And this is just enough time to distract the dog so he can get the shotgun from the guard and shoot the dog and then shoot the guard. And then he could say his cool one-liner, which is, sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. Not your lucky day, bro.
Yeah, well, he has a space between those. He goes, sometimes you win, sometimes you lose.
Cut.
And then there's, like, 30 seconds of him, like, uncuffing himself and stuff, and then he looks back down at the body and he goes, it's not your lucky day, bro.
He has
like,
two one-liners.
You
yeah.
can't, that's a two-liner.
Like, they couldn't even get that right.
I want to mention a couple things here about this scene, and this is some questions for you specifically also.
Oh, yeah.
So, you say that this man is a guard, and he was a guard at the prison, but also now he's saying that he's a bounty hunter.
Well, that's because now he has cool cowboy boots.
He describes himself as a bounty hunter working for the guards. And he's like, oh, I don't care if you live or die, that's the thing. And he's also discount David Harbour, by the way. This man looks so much like David Harbour. The other thing is...
Well, they covered up the red makeup of David Harbour, though, for this one.
Yeah.
They had to cover up his red skin.
His red skin, yeah. It's perfectly cast in Hellboy, but it's really hard to get
really
him in
awkward.
Anything else.
Yeah.
It's why you don't see him much. But, here's another question, though. So the dog is this man's dog. He talks about
supposedly.
It as he talks about it as his dog, and the dog, the inciting thing is for the dog to really want revenge on this guy is it killed this bounty hunter guard who was his master, right?
Supposedly. Except that's not what happened.
Except
afterwards.
That's not what it... That is also not what they change it to. They retcon their own movie halfway through the movie, right?
They do. Because
this is now suddenly later on a different person's dog.
It's a different person's dog with a different revenge.
Right, yeah. Like, what?
Also, like, how did the dog get to this point? They don't explain that either.
Because the dog is, like, suddenly, it's half metal. It's got, like, a weird cybernetic eye. Oh, God, it looks so bad. And,
it's like,
gold teeth.
The dog is Kano.
It's got a grill. Yes.
Yeah.
It's the Kano dog.
Kano dog.
Anyway, so he shoots the dog. He shoots the guy. He somehow does not have the handcuff keys from the guy who just handcuffed him.
Yes.
So instead he has to shoot off the handcuff, but only part of the handcuff, so he still has some of it on him. I don't know.
Because he misses.
Yeah, it seems like he misses, yes.
Yes.
And then he goes down and finds three dudes
upon, like, some homeless guys.
He wanders upon three guys who are holding their world championship dirt bike and spliff making rally.
Yes, while grilling some Calbee ribs.
Yes.
Yeah. With whiskey. They have like, whiskey too, yeah.
They have big stacks of marijuana. It's implied that they're drug dealers because they've got all these big things of...
Maybe they're not. Maybe they're just in for a good time. Maybe they just like sharing spliffs. You don't
they
know.
They had like big suitcase full of marijuana packs.
And
dude.
You don't? Come
on. Well, I am in Canada. That's legal. It's fine. But he meets these dudes. They have the biggest fucking spliff I think I've ever seen. This thing is like a cigar.
He shows up with a gun wandering around and just and manacled. And they're like, yeah, come on, sit down and meet with us, bro. Here, have this giant spliff I made. You want some whiskey, too? And he's like, oh, this is all great. Can you take off this handcuff, too? Bro.
What the fuck? We just gave you all this shit, now you're demanding stuff? We're gonna fucking murder you. And he's like, oh my god. We're just joking.
Nah, we're just fucking with you. You should really pay for all the stuff we're giving you. Like, hey, what about those boots? You got some nice boots.
Because he took them from the
guard. He stole the shoes from the guard. And they're like, yeah, just pay us with the boots. It's not that big of a deal. We'll give you, like, I don't know, 10 pounds of weed.
Yeah.
He gets mad about this. And then they have a good time partying. He falls asleep. And at night, they stole his boots. Which would be a dick move in a way. Except that, you know, they gave him a bunch of shit. Except they left him a pair of shoes. So it's not like they were just leaving him with nothing. They thought, oh, no, we don't want to screw him over. But, I mean, you know, we should take the boots. He did take a bunch of our shit.
These guys are great bros. I like the Desert Bros. They're good.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with these characters. Which is why they have to die.
Correct. Also, in the middle of the night, he has a dream, quote unquote.
Oh,
but it's maybe not a dream.
Yeah.
So the other thing is, throughout all of this, there's constant hallucinations of him seeing the guard bounty hunter guy dead before he's dead. Seeing the skeleton mechanical version of the Rottweiler chasing after him, even though he hasn't seen that version of the Rottweiler yet, and it doesn't exist, and it's all allegorical, man. What's
the breath
real?
Of evil fog comes in and wakes up the dog from being shot, so it's brought back from the dead or something.
Yeah, so this part of it is that, he sees the guy he left for dead, dying on the ground, and the dog goes over to him and wakes up because the fog comes out, and the scorpion, from the beginning of the movie,
is this all tied together.
Is this something? Is this something? Does this mean something? Says director, writer. Is this a thing? I don't know what this means, but it means something, right?
Like a 100-level college course where they ask you to write a story. Yeah. And the writer's like, I wrote a scorpion in. It means this. Does it, though?
You're giving it a lot of credit for saying that it's a college 100 course, because it feels way more like junior high.
Yeah, junior high AP course.
This
to
is
prepare
like
prepare you for college.
Yeah, this feels like somebody's edgy 14-year-old fanfic.
Speaking of edgy, the intro credits? I forgot
how
2003 they were. Anyway.
But
edgy allegory, hallucination dreams of the man coming back and saying, you have to get revenge for my death and kill that man.
Yes, and the scorpion waking up the dog because the scorpion's tied to the breath of evil fog, maybe, I don't know. Anyways, the reanimated cyber dog gets up and goes to chase him, and you're like, wait, but that's just a dream. Or is it?
But then it also cuts from that dream hallucination to Dante's dream showing more context ? About why they were in prison. And it's not just because they were on an immigration boat, but it's because they swam an ocean away to shore. And where they decided to swim to shore was the base of the prison or whatever. And they get arrested. And then they're like, no, it's fine. We're not like the other people on the, illegal immigration boat. We were just here to play Pokemon Go. It's a video game. You play on your phone, and it takes you to places, and then you get gyms.
Truly, this is the dark future of 2018.
2018, yeah.
So, Boix is making a joke.
No, I'm not.
Not much of one.
No, I'm not. We're playing a video game. A role-playing game.
He goes, so on the boat the first time, he says to her, isn't this sexy, infiltrating this area? And she's like, yeah, it's really cool. And you're like, oh, okay, there's spies or something, I guess, and not immigration people.
No.
Like, they're not illegal immigrant, like, smugglers. They're some kind of spies. No, they're literally rich white people that are like, well, we're playing a game. And he goes, what's the game? Infiltration. What? Yeah, we just like to go to areas that we're not allowed to without legal papers so we can get caught and murdered.
It's a role-playing game you play with other people where they kill you on your phone. It's called Pokemon Go, you sink us. It is 2018. I mean, they got that right.
And for the longest time, I went, okay, so there's going to be, this is them ha 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 fucking with the dude, because that's just way too goddamn stupid, even for this pile of shit.
Nope.
It is not that, it is exactly that stupid.
And then the next scene is like 25 minutes of gratuitous nudity.
Yes. Well, yeah. And in, like, multiple ways of
in multiple ways,
nudity.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because he's just naked in the river, swimming with his hand wound. This yeah. dirty, filthy river.
This is the first time when he raises his hand out of the water in this uh-huh. fucking mud river, and it's like, whoa, my hand's bleeding all of a sudden. And then the dog shows up, and that's when
yeah,
they're like, but, oh, I guess his magic hand.
Because the dog takes his gun that he took, and it's a
yes!
handgun now.
Oh my god,
and,
I forgot all
and
those.
Then drops it in the river to taunt him. But
in front of him, yo, bro, look at this.
The fuck? And then this leads to Dante running around naked with his ass and junk out in full view.
I was so wrong, by the way. You can put it in here. I was the most wrong.
I asked
I've ever
you right
been.
Before this, do you know how. I wonder how much. Dude ass they'll show. You said not much.
I'm like, I don't know. I said, I'm like, I don't know if they'll show any. I'm like, this thing's boring enough they won't even bother.
And then it was just...
I was so wrong.
Front and center dong and ass.
Dong and ass for literally, as you said, like 25 minutes.
And
he's
this,
naked. Buck naked.
This actor went a fucking mile too far to the point where he was even like hand climbing up a mountain nude.
This man was running a marathon across broken glass for this unbelievable pile of filth movie. And,
that, and
I feel so bad
for him. That's not an exaggeration, either.
No.
So,
like, they have him climb up, like, a rocky mountain, buck-ass naked.
Yeah.
And they just film the whole thing.
And
dong
it is
out,
not,
ass out, like...
It is not shot tastefully.
No, well, there's... Yeah, like, it's just shot very plain.
And there's not even any, like... titillating, like you'd expect in an exploitation movie, they would show like, oh yeah, let's make it sexy. No, it's just him running around naked for no reason.
It's shot in the most plain way possible. Like, it's just a wide angle shot of him across the river and then running up the mountain. And it's like 3 minutes of him running in and out of the river and then up the mountain in these wide angle shots, but fucking buck naked.
It's so weird to me that they did it that way. Right? Like, it's almost like they didn't understand what they were filming. It makes no
Yo,
sense.
It's almost like they didn't understand!
or it was for the director. It could have been... They did show some very uncomfortable close-ups of his hairy feet.
They did a lot of feet stuff, that's true.
Yeah, it might be for the director.
It might just be his specific thing. Maybe he likes really small naked men on, like, wide-angle shots, I don't know.
But after he wrestles the dog in the dirty river, he gets away after climbing the mountain nude and running through the forest nude. And he winds up at some random farmhouse, which is in a completely different region of the world.
In a far-flung future of 2018, where they have this 1960s-style farmhouse.
Is this Yor the Hunter from the future? Is that what it's... Yor was more tasteful than this movie.
Oh, by a huge margin.
But, okay, so he ends up at a random farmhouse. And there's a mom and a young daughter with some dogs. And they're, like, stalking a underground cellar, I guess.
I just want to mention, too, when you say that he shows up there, he doesn't show up there immediately. Because, like you're saying, it shows them stalking the cellar first. Instead, it's a hard cut from him climbing this nude mountain.
He's just there.
All of a sudden, a totally different region with these two other characters that we've never seen before just having a conversation in the cellar, and we're like, wait, is this a flashback of Eula's past? Is this, like...
Because she kind of looks like Eula, the mom.
Yeah. Well, and then you're like, okay, maybe the daughter is Eula, so maybe it's like, oh, this is Eula's mom, and that's why she kind of looks like Eula, and this house is old and stuff, so maybe it's all in the past. That would make sense.
It's because and it's it has such like a 5-minute scene. That's why. Like,
and like, into a totally different area and vibe, and, like, everything about it just feels... totally out of left field, and like it's 5 minutes of this mom daughter having this conversation about monsters and stocking shelves
until the daughter finds Dante naked behind their clothesline, and then the mom points a
still
gun at
fucking
him
buck ass naked tells he's him in the clothesline and he doesn't get dressed.
No, just... no, but she brings him inside, tells him to put on some fucking pants.
Mm-hmm.
And he puts on the pants. And she tells the daughter to go away so that she can take him into her neon Christ bedroom.
Yeah, she walks him 10 feet down the hall and goes, okay, take off those pants.
Now take off your fucking pants.
God damn it.
So they can have
God damn it.
Unnecessary sex scene.
That is just fucking filthy. Because she is saying some really heinous shit to him the entire time about it, too. Of how she wants to kill him and all of the horrible things that happened to her to make her this way because of the guys that are running the prison camp that's over
and
the hill.
And the prostitution camp that she was forced into.
Yes,
like, okay.
And all this stuff. And it's just gratuitous and nasty.
And the whole time, Jesus is watching.
Because there is a fucking neon Christ sign.
It's a neon
and, like,
Christ and a photo of, like, a painting of Jesus right above her bed watching them. And you know who they forgot to give consent? You know who forgot to give consent? They didn't ask Jesus.
Or the daughter. Or the dog.
Or any of them, really.
The dog asserts his will very firmly here and tells them, hey, you stop that.
Well, the movie wouldn't stop it. They kept cutting away to the daughter seeing the dog, and then, oh, we have to go back to the sex. We can't show too much boring shit.
The daughter keeps going into the bedroom while they're banging, and then going, and then the mom goes like, get out, but then just keeps banging.
Correct. But eventually the Rottweiler shows up.
Fuck this.
Kills the dogs. Tries to get in through the door. And
again, super gratuitous, awful violence for no reason.
And then suddenly, out of the bedroom, both characters run out half clothed.
Fully clothed.
Like at least half clothed. Like he's wearing pants and she's wearing, you know, her nightgown. But the movie showed restraint by not having them buck naked again.
I'm surprised that it did, really.
Somehow.
Like, we're not joking when it's like, it was like 20 minutes of him just buck fucking naked.
Yeah.
It's
wild. She shoots at the dog at the door, opening up like a, or he shoots, somebody shoots.
She does.
But it opens up like a buckshot hole that looks fucking bad. And rubber dog face comes in through the hole. So our main character, Dante, tries to hold the door shut by slamming his ass at the dog's face, which has been shown to be able to bite through humans very easily. But his ass is made of steel.
He is caked up beyond belief.
So the dog can't get through his fucking metal ass.
I hate everything about this. Yeah. All of the violence and sex here, we are glossing over it. It is fucking filthy and awful, and it makes you feel gross, and like
there's too much of it too,
and all of it is done in I wonder if they thought it was titillating. But, like, I'd hope not. I really hope not.
Maybe it was... I think despicable. This is for the director. This is for the director. This is not for us.
This is truly despicable and, like, presented in a way that it feels like maybe it doesn't realize how despicable it is. I don't know. It's just... It sucks. And, it sucks so much.
And then the mom and the daughter split off from Dante. Dante tries to taunt the dog, but for some reason the dog is like, I don't really care that much about revenge. I just want to kill. I'm just a killer now, I guess.
And decides to chase after...
And he kills the mom.
The mom,
so they can have a gratuitous scene of blood dripping down on the daughter. For no reason.
Well, no, the reason is it's edgy. Look at this. The daughter's watching her mom die. Whoa!
And then for some reason, the daughter goes with Dante, even though he's, like, ruined her whole life and killed her mom.
She's shell-shocked.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's She's true. Just that's true.
Totally fucked up at this
point.
They
run off and escape into a prison truck from the prison that Dante just escaped from.
Yeah, that's unlocked as it's driving down the road.
Yep. And
well, the passenger, there's a driver and a passenger, uh-huh. And the passenger is doing a soldering job while driving down
radio.
This bumpy dirt road.
I should point out the radio is still hooked up to the car.
Yes.
So it has electricity running through it as it's open. Oh, we know. She's toying at it with like a screwdriver and a soldering iron.
At one point it fries. It goes like,
yeah.
And like she sparks because she fucks it up because... They're on a dirt road on a mountain, and she's trying to fucking solder something. What are you doing?
I don't know what the point of this was, or why this character was like... I think it's because if she was just sitting in the front of the vehicle doing nothing, they're like, oh, that's boring. We need her to do something. But...
What's the stupidest thing she could do?
Why this?
The only reason I can think of is because it gives her a screwdriver... For the scene
so,
in a few minutes.
So she can die, yeah.
So she can die, yeah.
Because the Rottweiler follows them, and then is on top of the roof, and then she unscrews a panel that lets the Rottweiler in, yada yada. Anyway, the Rottweiler kills her for no reason. The little girl opens up the doors and tries to jump at them, and then the dog jumps out the back. And our protagonist, Dante, is stuck on a hook on the door with his metal ass.
Yes.
Which is
magnetized. Strong enough to hold him up, yeah.
No, he's not... You think he would be caught by the belt, but he's just clamping.
That's just his ass.
He's
ass
clamping on the
door.
He's
just holding it. Yeah. Yeah, no, there is a hook on his belt is the...
No, it's his ass.
Idea here.
No.
Sure, but like... But he swings out and he's just held there perfectly. Like...
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that works. And that's how the guard doesn't see him, you see. Because the dog falls out of the truck as the guard watches... Uh-huh. And he swings out on the door, and then he jumps off of the door and runs away, and the guard doesn't notice any of this.
And now the little girl has left the movie.
Correct. He also has, like, a big conversation with the little girl about, like, she goes, she's sitting there, and she's just totally shell-shocked, and he's like, well, you know, you don't have it that hard. I also lost somebody.
Oh,
and he starts going
died?
Into his...
I also lost a woman. My
yeah,
girlfriend.
He just starts going into his whole, like, oh, man, you think you have it bad. And just fucking goes off. He just fucking goes off and talks about, oh, man, you think you got problems.
Oh, my God. But then he runs off.
You have just destroyed your life.
Yeah, he runs off. His hand's bleeding. He's like, oh, I got rabies. I'm going to die of rabies.
I'm gonna die of robo-rabies. What?
And
what
then
the
this causes him to have
about?
Another hallucination dream about the breath of evil fog coming in and the captain of the ship telling him, do you really love her? Are you really in love? Or are you just in love with the thought of
the
being in love?
Love. Yeah.
What's
Come
it all...
to face it, she's dead!
What's it all mean? Is it a mystery? Is there symbolism here? Anyway, I'm leaving the film now. Bye.
It's very allegorical. Look at the scorpion on a grave.
What? And we still don't know what happened to Ula, because the movie hasn't fucking explained anything.
Correct. Then suddenly we cut to him in a city. So this has all been rural. He was
in the desert,
In a desert. He was in an immigration exclusion zone, and it was like this big prison in the desert. Then it's him running across this desert through mountains and stuff, finding a rural farmhouse. He jumps onto this prison bus. The prison bus is still on this rural road. He jumps out. Now he's in, like,
he's in neon sex future, alley.
Like,
cyberpunk sex alley.
Yeah, it's like this sudden cyberpunk future city that he's in.
Where everybody wears chaps. Fuck! And, what? And leather and
And dresses
underwear.
Like Eminem.
And dresses like Eminem and talks about their mom's spaghetti.
You've got to worry about who the real Slim Shady is at all times.
Yep. So he meets Eminem, and Eminem's like, oh, you looking for a girl? Yeah, I'm looking for a girl. Oh, which one? This one in the photo, her name's Ula. Oh, I know Ula.
Or Ula, I don't know.
I'll take you to her. Okay, but you gotta pay me first. And then he rips a dollar in half. He's like, I'll give you 50 cents now and 50 cents later. Okay.
Fine.
So then Eminem takes him to this lady, but it's the lady who was the prostitute
God, we didn't explain this.
Who was
yeah.
laughing at him in a flashback because...
Okay, let's explain the flashback. Hold up. So
so much.
We had another flashback that's somewhere in here that we forgot yeah. where because they were caught doing infiltration their game,
their Pokemon
prison,
Go. Yeah.
The prison manager. No, infiltration was the game made by Niantic before Pokemon Go.
Oh,
please.
My
that's,
bad. Yeah, okay.
This is 2018, not it's too early for Pokemon Go. Anyway, so the prison manager guard man, who's not the bounty hunter man, but a different man, takes her away and assaults her.
Correct.
In the back of his, like, military Humvee. Well, Dante has to sit and listen to it. But then another woman comes up to him and goes, hey, stud, you all alone on this prison base? I'm just, you know, a random woman who... does this at prison bases
in
secure facilities.
Oh, you getting arrested? You want a bone?
Like, what the fuck? And she's like, are you alone? And he goes, no, I came here with somebody. And she goes, ah, that's so funny. You're so funny. And that's the scene.
Yeah. But she's the one that Eminem takes him to, which triggers another flashback of him berating Ula for being assaulted because he's a great character
because he's a gigantic fucker. Yeah.
Yep. And then he's like, that's not Ula, that's not her at all, you lied, Eminem, give me my 50 cents back. Hey man,
on like showing flashes of her and Eula's face over each other like, oh, maybe they're the same.
They don't look the same at all.
They don't look the same at all, and there's absolutely no reason for them to be the same or like any allegory that works because it's, she's just another woman that was at the base, and why was she even there? And then the
dog, the Rottweiler, who's been shown to just have a killing instinct and kills everybody he meets, walks by 20 people he doesn't kill. So he can specifically kill one person who was just the guard for the prostitution house that Dante was taken to. So he can then go kill Eminem for releasing a new album.
I mean, okay, fair.
I guess. Just because, hey, fuck you, your music sucks, Eminem. I hate your shit. Why did he... The dog has...
Is this like a commentary because it's a 2004 movie again where it's like, rap is crap, man. Like, let's rip Eminem apart.
And then as Dante's just wandering the streets, he stops to ask a prostitute for some help and she just slaps him on the face. Finally.
She turns around. She doesn't even realize that it doesn't even seem like she realizes she slaps him. And he goes flying, like, 10 feet. It's incredible. He just sprawls out across the pavement.
And in the background of this urban cyber sex city...
Yes.
He sees the towers of, I guess, the prison slash oil refinery.
An oil refinery.
It just wanders over to it, like, for the next scene to start. Because we need to be there now, I guess...
Yeah, and he wanders into their secure facility where there are no guards or people, and the prison guard man, the main one, not the bounty hunter guy, a totally different guy, comes down in his helicopter to confront him.
Yep. And then he's like, what, you don't know where Ula is? It's a mystery, huh? Huh? What's the game? We still playing the game, bro? I thought we were playing Pokemon Go, bro. Where's your fucking Pikachu?
You're doing your cool infiltration, huh?
Yeah, well...
Infiltrate this Pikachu, you idiot.
Infiltrate this. Game over, bro.
Yeah, he does game over
and,
him.
And then, like... he jumps in the... Dante jumps in the helicopter as it's being taken off. Because he... The warden or whatever that guy is taunting Dante with, like, yeah, she's dead and you gotta live with it, bro. You gotta remember what happened.
It's been a year.
It's been a year.
What? Has it been a year?
Has it?
It's been a year.
Has it been a year?
Has it been? Wait, is it a
Since
year?
When?
Why is it a year? When did the year go? What was he in what? Prison for a year? Did he break? What?
Yeah, what? I thought it just happened. And then what? Dante jumps in the helicopter as it's taking off, and the dog also jumps in the helicopter, and then the dog like starts killing the warden for no reason. And
well, and especially because at this point, the warden also reveals the dog's motives. Oh, you thought that it was revenge for the guy that owned...
Right.
You thought that it was revenge for the guy that owned the dog that you killed in the desert. But you're wrong. It's revenge for the guy that owned the dog. Me.
Because I owned the dog. And
I owned the dog.
Ula scratched my face after I taunted her. So I told my dog, who was not a cyber dog, to kill her. And he did. And then you beat the dog to death with a pipe. And then at some point, the dog became a robot. And I don't know when, because we didn't explain that.
Because I didn't explain or show that part. And then I gave the dog to a different person so that he could have double, super, ultra revenge.
And then as the helicopter is, like, under attack by the robot dog, Dante pulls out a pipe, like, a tubing from inside the cabin with both doors open of the helicopter. And the pilot's like, oh no, we're depressurizing.
We're losing pressure.
What
pressure?
It's an open-door helicopter. What are you talking about?
Well, is it like the gas line then? Like, what pressure? Pressure from what? What's the pressure?
This causes the helicopter to crash. But Dante jumps out before it crashes.
Yeah, he jumps out from like 100 feet in the air, just on
the
beach.
The same way he swam in ocean. Don't worry.
Yes, don't worry. He's fine.
His ass is made of steel. He landed right on it and bounced. We just didn't see the bounce. And then the dog's flesh melts off to just the bone and the cybernetic parts, I guess. And
okay, so I just want to mention real quickly here. So when they do that in Terminator. It works because it's only a robot underneath. There's no actual bones. This one, it has a metal jaw and a cyber eye.
And a brain.
And the rest of it is a... Does it have a brain?
It has a real brain, too. Like they show it. They show it.
Oh, do they?
Because they show the gore where it's like part of his head's missing. But the brain's
there. I must have missed that. But like, it's just skeleton, the rest of it.
Yeah.
That's not how that works.
This is also
they can't
Dante
move, then.
Can say his famous one-liner of "Rot in hell," or
"Fry
in hell,"
because they subtitle it wrong.
Whichever, I don't know. But he then digs up Ula's body, which is like an inch under the ground, and she's perfectly normal and fine, like she was a year ago. And they talk. Because he's hallucinating, or is it real? I don't know. And she's like, I thought you said you would die with me. And he's like, yeah, I'll die for you. Or whatever. And then she's a mummy or something. Like, she has rotted.
Yeah, then she's decomposed, yes.
And then this is just so the skeleton dog, which is a dog, still alive somehow, can attack him. And then a hard...
In the big flames.
In the flames. Yes. And then a hard cuts... To them.
And so they can give a big hug. He gives the doggy a big huggy.
Yeah, because it hard cuts to them all in the same pit, and they've been burned to just skeleton.
The worst skeletons imaginable. Like, it's unbelievable how bad it looks.
And then this is...
And they're all hugging.
They're all
hugging each other.
And then the scorpion shows up. He's like,
threesome.
Was this anything? Did we do it?
Did we do it? Was this a film?
It just like
we did it, right?
It just limps across the finish line at that point. They all died.
I'm surprised they didn't put a fog in at the end too to be like, oh, maybe it was the breath of evil. I
I guess. What was that about? Who knows?
The important
thing... Was it his destiny? I don't know.
The important thing is when we were watching the behind the scenes, the director told the actor for Dante, don't do it too much. Don't try to fake act too much or else you'll look stupid. Yeah. And I think that really
encapsulates
the whole thing. Don't try too much or else you look stupid. And they tried too much.
Too much. They tried a lot. They tried so hard.
This is The Quiet Man. It's a bunch of flashbacks that don't make any fucking sense, that are out of order. It's somebody stole his shoes, and that's the thing that kicked it off.
Somebody stole his shoes. Is this woman his mom? Is the woman his girlfriend? Is the girlfriend actually this woman that's in the house that's got the daughter? Or is the daughter his girlfriend? Or is this a flashback? Or is this all hallucination?
Is this guy a bounty hunter or a cop? Is he his dad?
Is he his dad?
None
of this makes sense because nobody's actually seen The Quiet Man but us.
But it makes sense to me.
It makes sense to us specifically. It's so much like The Quiet Man, it's disturbing. How much it's like this pretentious art film that has
But it's so gratuitous, no pretension.
Yeah, like, it's amazing how much it feels like it's doing pretentious art. And you're like, wow, you don't understand art or pretension or allegory or filmmaking or anything.
Is this anything? Did we do it? Anyway, that's Rottweiler, I guess. Yeah.
It just throws, like, hallucination scenes at you to be like, oh, mysterious, right? But there's no theme to them to tie it together and actually make it something more than what it is, which is just random fucking garbage.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I hated this movie so much. This was one of my least favorite films we've ever watched. Like, this is bottom five.
And again, I want to point out, this is not the crew's fault.
No.
As much as I saw of the behind the scenes, they were professionals.
Consummate professionals, yes.
And they did their best, and it's not their fault.
A lot of the practical effects and a lot of the shots are fine. Yeah. A lot of the audio's okay. I even think the actors aren't that bad. The main actor can be pretty bad at times, but I think a lot of the side characters weren't bad almost at all.
Sometimes he even looks like the main character from The Quiet Man.
Yes, he really does. It's when the minute you mentioned it, the parallels are uncanny.
Anyway, let's rate the dog. So the dog is a Rottweiler. His name is Zeus. He's a good boy who loves treats and he's well trained.
He's exceptionally well trained. That's the one thing I got from the background scenes.
And the one thing I know about this movie, specifically in relation to Zeus, is that it was trying really hard to prey on a bad image of a Rottweiler, which is a horrible murder machine dog that can never be cute and lovable. And it fails to even get that awful image across.
No. Yeah. Because
every time it zooms in on the dog, it's like, oh, that's a cute puppy. Oh, he's got metal grills in his teeth. Oh.
The only thing that I ever thought when I saw that dog was either A, aw, cute doggy, or B, it's got a gold grill.
Look at the grill.
Why do they give this dog a grill?
So I would give Zeus a consummate professional out of 10. That is a well-trained dog that deserves better films.
I'd give this dog an 8 out of 10 because it ate Ula's heart. Quite literally.
Literally, yeah. It ate her heart
out. It rips out her heart in one of the most gratuitous, stupid scenes.
Could be a funny, fun, gory scene in a better movie.
Being very goofy, yeah. But
it's not.
It's shot and done so self-serious and in, like, such a dark, awful way that it's like, eh, whatever.
Anyway, that's Rottweiler. This one's my fault, so you're welcome.
Yes, it is. I was going to mention that. I'm like, I would love... I want to watch Ace Ventura 4 more than I want to watch this.
God.
You thought that I fucked up by doing Ace Jr., Pet Jr., Detective Jr., but actually, boy, I found a real diamond in the rough compared to this shit.
But if you want to help support us with equipment costs, like the DVD player I used for this. This movie, which I
capture software
now fucking own because this is lost media and it should remain that way. You can support us on Patreon at Rough Cuts. You can also follow us on social media at Blue Sky and co-host at Rough Cuts Cast, I believe. You can email us at roughcutscast@gmail.com.
You're gonna make a library / museum of that's like the Christmas special with Rudolph, where it's like the Island of Misfit Movies. You're just gonna.
I don't know if I want to preserve this. I think that's where I'm at.
Worst movies of all time. Like, well, that can be your ultimate art piece. Is you can like make the museum and then you can burn it to the ground.
Yeah, because like I could preserve this movie. I've done that for some of our films, and I'm like, maybe not this one. Maybe not. Kind of didn't like this one. Made me feel filthy. Yeah. Anyway, that's it for this week.
I need to be pure. I'm gonna go get clean.
Hey, my phone says that there's some abbers nearby. I'm gonna go across the border to go get some Pokemon. You wanna come with?
Hey, yeah, that sounds pretty fun.
Yeah,
do you want to play that game together?
Yeah, let's go do that. All right,
we can role play.
Role-playing
games are really popular now.
We're gonna go role play infiltration. Goodbye, everyone. I guess.
God, it'll at least save us from ever having to do this fucking podcast again.
Shh, you're not supposed to say the quiet part out loud.
No, because it's the quiet man.
Yeah, shh. Okay.
Don't do it too much or else it'll look stupid.